Is that a bell?
No, Megan, that's the sound of slot machines.
Oh, why?
Slot machines from the past, because this episode of Magic the Amateuring is all about GP Vegas.
Holy shit, ghost slot machines are haunting me?
Ghost slots.
Oh, boy.
Did you play that game down there, the ghost slots?
The ghost slots? No, yeah. I saw that. I remember seeing the slot machine, ghost slots.
Ghost slots.
But I didn't play it.
It's where you put in all the money that you lost while you were in Vegas, and you get nothing back.
That's right. You put in a tally.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost $45 gambling, and you put 45 ghost dollars into ghost slots, and you never win.
You never win, but I mean, you still are playing.
Exactly.
So, I think the listeners might want to know, Megan, between you and I, how much money did we lose gambling or win in GP Vegas?
Well, I didn't gamble.
Okay, so you're zero.
I broke super even.
You broke even. Yeah. And I lost $5. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Maria.
There we go. I'm ruined.
We should probably get you help for what is obviously a deep-seated gambling addiction.
You know what? You could say that playing Modern Masters is gambling.
You know, I was going to say, I was like, if I think about it, actually, really, I probably lost $150 across two sealed events. I probably did that.
Oh, God. Everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring.
That's right. I'm Megan.
I'm Maria.
And before we get started, I really actually need to clear up something from last episode.
Sure.
Spent a lot of time thinking about our jean jacket, dress, and boots wardrobe because you were using it as an example of how you only need a couple of basics.
Yeah,
and
to get by.
To get by. But then I thought about it and I was like, there's only four permutations of outfits that you can make. If you own a jean jacket, a dress, and boots, there's obviously the first outfit where you wear all three.
Yeah.
Then there is dress and boots.
Yeah.
No jacket. It's warm outside.
Right.
Dress and jacket, no shoes. You're going super cash.
Yep.
Or my personal favorite, jacket, boots, no dress. Those are the four
Megan.
Outfits that you can make by combining those.
I don't know
wardrobe essentials.
What else you would need to dress for that can't, none of those permutations can suit.
Okay, no, you're right. Okay.
Thank you.
Fair. I wanted to make sure that we cleared that up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it turns out, in fact,
and you're
that
also,
you knew it the entire time.
You're missing just boots, by the way.
I mean, I didn't say the three things by themselves because I feel like that's like wearing a thing.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Or just one boot and the jacket. Which I only say for special occasions.
Is that when you're like lost?
Yeah, you're lost shambling down the street. Oh, God. In case you guys don't know what the heck's going on, Magic the Amateuring is a podcast about Magic the Gathering for new players, players returning to the game, and anybody who likes to have a giggle inside their giggle pit from time to time. On today's show, of course, like we mentioned, we're going to talk all about GP Vegas. Sorry we didn't do this last week. I was sick with the convention flu. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you got it real bad.
It hit
I didn't
me
get
super
it.
Hard.
I feel like you got it for both of us.
Yeah, I kind of did.
So thank you.
It was horrible.
Thank you for taking that bullet for the team.
I mean, I've gotten sick after conventions before with like a cold, never with like the full-blown flu.
10,000 people, Maria.
Yeah.
Inside one building.
Yeah, I guess.
All at once.
I guess.
All weekend.
The odds are that I would almost die.
There were a lot of germs.
But I am back in the world of the living. And so we're going to talk all about GP Vegas. That's going to be our whole episode today. So strap yourselves in for some good old-fashioned Nevada fun time.
Thanks to Living Weapons, there were also a lot of germ tokens.
Oh, maybe that was it. There's too many germ tokens all around me.
Ugh.
I must have got infected.
I mean, Sickle Slicer is like a decent card. You put it in your deck a lot of the time.
You know, a lot of people are playing Husk, Flare Husk.
Yeah, right?
I mean, more than I would expect.
Sure.
That's
sure,
a living
man.
Weapon.
It
By
sure
the
is.
Way, Flare Husk? What a weird name.
Creepy. It's a really creepy name.
Yeah. Flare Husk.
It's like the... Never mind. I don't even want to go into it. It's actually so creepy.
Okay.
All right.
No worries.
Moving on.
Before we start our episode, we want to say thank you to everybody we met in Vegas. If you came up and said hi, if you had a sign, a Gnarled pack, you're awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. We had just like, we really cannot express how absolutely wonderful it was to meet so many amazing, kind, excited, wonderful, incredible people.
That's right. It was like a wonderful roller coaster of beauty. is how I would put it. Meeting everybody that we wanted to say hi to, people who we're fans of, people who like our show. It was, you know, how many people I played who knew about the show. That was also really awesome.
It was all around amazing. I would describe it as like skiing downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those courses where you have to go between the different flags.
Uh-huh.
And I got through all the flags.
Great job.
Thank you.
I would say it's like putting yourself in a refrigerator and rolling yourself down a hill.
Why?
Because doesn't that kind of sound fun?
No. No.
What?
I want to talk about exactly how unfun putting myself inside a refrigerator sounds. And then rolling down a hill.
Megan, first of all, it's padded in there. You've padded it, pre-padded.
Okay, you didn't.
Second of all,
that.
It's been a nuclear apocalypse, so the only place it's going to save you is inside a lead-lined fridge, as we were taught.
So it's both padded and lined
new
with lead?
Indiana Jones movie. Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yep.
All right.
So it was that much fun. I also want to put a big thank you out there to the professor who highlighted our show on his web series on YouTube, Tularean Community College. Go follow that if you haven't. He does great videos all the time. And we're going to have him as a guest on an upcoming episode. But thank you if he sent you here and this is your first experience with us.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
We really, just in general, how supportive people have been. We
right.
cannot express enough thanks. It's just so amazing. And so kind. And so wonderful.
We've got a Patreon going, and we've just now hit our $100 goal a month or an episode. So we are able to do draft videos for you every single week.
Mm-hmm.
Megan's going to have one that's going up at the same time as this episode. So head on over to our YouTube channel, which you can find through our website, magicthamaturing.com, or probably just, you know, search it on YouTube. I don't know. Megan did Modern Masters draft.
Yeah, man.
Okay, Modern Masters draft. Check that out. We're going to have a draft video up there for you every week.
Spoiler alert, the upcoming one has the most upsetting ending.
Ooh, I like that.
I was so angry.
Ooh. If you want to hear Megan get real salty, did you get salty?
I think like before the very end, like I swore once. And then like at the end, I just like sign off real quick.
You're like,
I
screw
just
this.
Like don't say
goodbye.
Anything about it.
I'm mad. I also have one up there, and it was not the greatest draft I've ever done, but hopefully it's entertaining. I don't know. And on already our YouTube channel. And if you want to support us too on Patreon, come on over to patreon.com/MTAcast for super awesome rewards and join our Patreon family if the show, you know, does give you giggles in your giggle pits or tickles in your tickle, puts you in tickle fits. I don't know.
So last week on the show, we talked a little bit about, not last week, but the last episode,
yeah.
2 weeks ago, we talked a little bit about a listener who had written us saying they'd been playing for a little while now,
mm-hmm.
but they still sometimes just got crushed by just like they
Whoever.
Would regularly get
yeah.
crushed or they would get crushed by newer players. And we sort of talked about some of the things that factor into becoming a better player, that factor into sometimes like not winning against a player who you are certainly better than.
Yep.
It's one of the nice things about Magic is that like
that happens.
You know what? Sometimes you are the underdog, but you can still win.
Sometimes when I play LSV, I win.
Have you ever played him?
No, but that's my dream, and because of variance,
one
you
time
have a
chance.
I might win.
You have a chance.
Yeah. Whereas if it was chess, I would not have any chance.
So,
we talked about that last episode, so if you're interested in that topic, we've gotten a few emails recently from listeners who want to improve their game and are fairly new players, so go back and listen to the episode previous to this one, but we also devised a really quick little handy thing for you to remember.
That's right. I was going to call it like an acronym. Is it an acronym? It's like an acrostic poem.
Sure. It's a haiku. No, it's not. that was a lie.
It's an acrostic poem.
Okay, so this is for you to remember if you're a newer player and you're feeling frustrated by the fact that you're not super great yet. All right, it's the acronym is we've got some tips for you.
It's we have tip.
We have a tip. It's TIPP. All right.
Yes.
T is for
time.
That's right. It takes time.
Exactly. And no matter how long you have been playing Magic, more time playing Magic will always make you a better Magic player.
Yeah, I think that's true generally.
You can constantly improve. You can constantly learn more about the format. So remember, no matter how far you've come on your journey, you still have farther to go. It's like if you were riding around the world.
In a hot air balloon?
Yeah, you could, you'd never actually come to, like, the end of the journey. You could always just keep going around the world.
Because, as we all know, a circle has no end.
That's right.
I is for inform yourself.
Sorry, I felt like that one was yours.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
That's right. You can always learn more about magic. You can read articles. You can watch videos. You can listen to sweet podcasts.
Oh, well. Hey there.
Just any way that you can gather more information about a current format, about different cards, whether it be in standard or modern or draft. Just so many different ways that you can improve your game through information.
Lots of streamers, by the way, on Twitch.tv playing pretty much 24/7.
That's right. You can, except for Wednesday mornings,
yep,
you can always get on Twitch.tv and watch some people playing some sweet games of Magic.
All right, then we've got another P.
That's right. The first P is for patience.
Patience.
Do you know what?
What?
Sometimes you're just going to lose.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to get better and you're going to feel yourself getting better and then you're going to plateau.
Yep.
And that plateau is going to feel like you're getting worse,
mm-hmm,
because you're so used to improving with each game.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you hit this plateau and you're like, why am I not getting better? I'm getting worse. Like, yeah, no, it's okay. Actually, like, your brain is just taking time to absorb the information that you've been accumulating recently. Maybe, you know, you're in the middle of processing kind of whatever your next big jump is going to be. And you're just on a little bit of a straight, you know, on a straight path.
It's like Oregon Trail. Those people who are on the trail sometimes would reach a plateau and they just had to kind of sit up on that plateau until their old-timey brains got smart enough to realize that maybe they could just go down the other side and then they'd be in Oregon.
I always remember that part of the game. Where it's like, you're on a plateau.
You're on a plateau.
What would you like to do?
Just like, sit here, I guess.
Oh, God, sit here.
Yeah.
Like, for a while, the only option is sit here.
Yeah, and then.
And then, like, after a couple of hours, it'll bring up the option.
Go down the other stream.
Yeah. And you're like, thank God, the people in this computer game finally learned.
The other P is for practice.
Hey, that's pretty straightforward.
I mean, duh.
Just practice.
If you want to get better, you gots to practice.
The more you practice, the better you get. The better you get, the less you're going to quit.
The more the beans you eat, the more you toot.
I don't know where you were going with that.
Beans, the magical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot.
I was going more for like the Dr. Seuss, oh, the places you'll go, Ryan.
Oh, well, I went for farts, you went for literature. I think that sums us up pretty well.
Up this podcast and our friendship.
Oh, God.
If you wanted us in a nutshell, I think that was it.
If you wanted us in a nutshell, get real. We're too big to fit in a nut.
That's also true.
Yeah.
It's also true.
So there you go. There's a tip for you.
I wonder what a redwood's, like, what kind of... What
nuts
kind
a of redwood tree has? Is that what you want to know? Big, like, nuts, Megan.
Do they have, like, pine cones? Are they like a cone kind of a tree? Or are they, like, an acornish kind of tree? What kind of seed do they produce?
Maybe they're the kind of tree that just cuts off one of its own branches and sticks it in the ground and is, like, planted. That's my offspring.
Wow.
Badass.
Impressive.
Yeah, I don't actually know the answer to what a redwood tree
poops out. Me neither, man.
For babies.
All right. I'm going to have to Google that later.
Okay. So, Megan, GP Vegas was all about Sealed Deck Modern Masters 2015.
Yeah, it was. And it was pretty great.
It was pretty great.
Almost, let's see, I think it was a little over 8,000 players, mm-hmm, were registered for the event.
It's
and after no shows and drops, i.e. people who opened a foil Tarmogoyf.
No kidding.
It was in the upper 7,000s.
That's insanity.
It absolutely is. It was actually divided into two GPs, which were then subdivided into several, like, on the first day were in, like, several smaller groups. So that it was manageable.
Megan and I were not in the same GP.
No, we were not. You were on the other side of the room.
We were completely opposite ends of the convention center.
That's right. We arrived together at 9 in the morning and, mm-hmm, didn't see each other again until like 6 p.m.
I know. It was so weird.
It was actually super weird.
It was crazy. Yeah, there was so many people.
Absolutely so many people. So many different like vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So many everything. So many judges. Oof. So yeah. many signs. So many posters.
So many toilets for women that were completely open and free.
That's right.
Beautiful thing.
It really was.
It's like this is the only time in the history of ever that there are less women in line for the bathroom than men.
Yeah.
It's glorious.
That's actually
It's true. Like now you know how we feel, gentlemen.
Most of the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how we did with our sealed pools in the main event. I think I built, what did I build? I built green, black, white, which I think is kind of like the best colors. Black for the removal, you know, mm-hmm. bone splinters and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. In green, you've got your little tokens you're making. And white, you're pumping those dudes with like Celestia, Guildmage, etc. That was my kind of deck.
Nice.
And I started the day off. Best start I've had at a GP, which was 2-0, which doesn't sound super impressive. But like when you're a new player, sometimes I find that, you know, by the second game, like if I'm up a match or whatever, I'm like, okay, now I probably should lose, right? That kind of gets in my mindset. Like, now is probably the time when I'm going to lose.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, that's probably not good to be thinking that. So I was kind of happy when I just basically was like, okay, I'm going to start off 2-0 and just try and be on the upshot from there. I did have an overwhelming Stampede, which was probably the best card in my deck and definitely won me games out of absolutely nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I did 80 trample damage in one turn, which was
nice.
Pretty great.
Overwhelming
you guys.
Stampede was a sick card.
Yeah, that was a mirror match too. Like we were just both building up our armies with the guild mage, and at some point I'm like, I should probably just attack with this. I had Ulamog's Crusher out, so that helped.
Oh my god, so everything got +8/+8 and trample.
Yep.
I don't think that you can that you can survive that.
No, it was so funny because he added up all of the damage and then he added up how much toughness he had blocking and then did the math that way.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, that makes the most sense.
Like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely dead.
Like, I can only soak up so much of this.
Exactly. So that was kind of how my day went. Of course, it was like Megan and I had mirror records, sort of. Like we were both mm-hmm. on the Tower of Terror. So we rose up 2-0.
Up, and then you just
and
drop.
You plummet.
And then you completely plummet. You plummet straight down. Let's see. I don't remember what my first build was, except that it was wrong. I was just like,
it was wrong?
It was just kind of inconsistent. It didn't smooth out particularly well.
Sure.
So I ended up, I would sideboard into a green blue deck, which was a little bit more consistent and a little bit more powerful. I got to play a Cryptic Command.
Sick.
So that was pretty
sweet. Could you
cast
that triple blue?
What?
Was it a problem to cast it?
No.
Love it.
Since I was straight green blue, not splashing a third color. And so that deck was definitely, my first deck wasn't like terrible. I won a couple of game ones with it. But the second one just like played much better. I unfortunately got a draw in round 3.
Yeah.
Which was, I say particularly unfortunate because I definitely felt like I was on the winning, end of the draw.
Sure.
Like if I had been given even like just a turn or two more, I would have gotten there. Which, this is a very grindy format, and you know, I was playing, I tend to sometimes have a problem with draws.
Yeah.
And I was talking with people about this a little bit, because
I
tried to.
We do make fun of you for it.
I know you do. I know you do. One thing that I've tried to do is just make my actions themselves quicker. Like, I'll spend time on decisions, but once I decide something, I make the movements themselves very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was like, that really bummed me out. And then the next game, I punted so horribly in game 3.
No.
I made a decision that lost me the game from a place where I could have won it.
Oh god.
Which was just so tilting.
What'd you do?
It was so painful. So I was playing, I got to the point where I was playing the green blue deck, and my opponent had an insane spirits deck. He had 2 Waxmane Bakus out, which are the ones where you can remove a key counter and tap something. And just like, I want to say like actually just like 6 or 7 spirits in play.
Wow.
It was.
That's my dream.
Completely bonkers. For a sealed pool too.
Yeah.
It was just like, this guy had like the nuts spirit deck from a sealed pool. So I was really under pressure. He had me on the backswing because he had a lot of counters on these Bakus and could tap my stuff down. But he was at 11 from some of my attacks earlier, and I had 13 power on the board. And I draw a cryptic command.
Yeah.
Which one of the modes is tap all of your opponent's creatures.
Yeah.
So I was like, holy crap, I can just win from here. And I do a quick scan of his board. And like, I look at it and I'm like, he's tapped out. So I, in my main phase, I'm like, tap your dudes, draw a card. And he had a swamp open and tapped one of my creatures with a Baku, so I didn't have lethal anymore.
No.
It was so bad. It was one of the top punts I've ever made.
You texted me about this during the tournament.
Yeah.
So I know it was bad.
And I think it's one of those things where it's like, okay, on the one hand, you can think about it and you're like, if I had just like gone a little slower and looked at his board a little bit more carefully, I would have not missed that one swamp that was open. But also it's like, oh, if I had just like played that card optimally for whether he was tapped out or not, which would have been to been like, go to combat, and he wouldn't have tapped any of my guys because it looks like I'm totally screwed.
Right.
Right? So I can exactly. then swing my yeah. guys, and then before blocks, I can tap down his team.
Sure.
Which would have been the correct way to do things. So I feel like, as much as I was just like, that was one of the worst and most upsetting punts I've made that in like recent memory, it was also a good lesson in terms of like, hey,
play your card optimally, no matter what.
No matter what, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because if I had played it optimally, it wouldn't have mattered that I missed that swamp. Like, I could have prevented myself from making, like, a game-losing mistake.
Sure.
If I had just done it correctly for whatever the circumstances were.
I think playing lazily is a problem that I have, especially yeah. when I play online. I'll play lazy, and that means like casting stuff main phase when you should be casting it in main phase two, yeah. or like casting an instant, you know, on your turn or whatever because you don't want to wait till your turn. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just being lazy. And that's true. Like in some situations, it will be the life or death of you. And this Absolutely. Is a good example.
So there you go. That's, you know, going back to what makes you, what can help you become a better player. It's like, sometimes you hit a really big learning experience like that where it's like, oh yeah, this is a damn good reminder to just like play my card the smartest way possible.
Sure.
No matter what.
Well, like, Megan.
Don't take a shortcut.
I think super great advice.
Thank you.
And have you recovered from this punt? Are you still feeling it?
I'm almost there. I'm almost right. there. I'm almost back to being a whole person again.
Yeah, yeah. You left a little bit of your heart in Vegas. I know. I get it.
It's scabbing over.
Yeah.
But
gross.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Scabs are gross.
I also had a learning moment.
Yeah, tell me about it.
During the main event, in which I think, I can't remember what round this was, maybe five or something. Mm-hmm. I had a loss. And my opponent also had a loss, obvi, because we had the same record.
Oh, this story is going to make me so mad.
Here's
I already
the story.
Know it. This story makes me so Here's goddamn the story. Mad. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so I'm playing with this guy. Yeah. I win a game, he wins a game, so we're tied. We're in the third game. And, whoa, there's an airplane flying overhead. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but it is so loud. Okay, so, Megan, will you attest to the fact that I'm not a slow player?
You are not a slow player.
Okay, so we get to the third game, and it's like 30 seconds left or whatever, and he's like, could you play faster? And I was just like, whatever, dude.
In the last 30 seconds of
this game, of
the round, you're like, great.
Oh god. So anyway, I play it was getting down to it, like he was attacking me and I was having to chump, but I drew Ulamog's Crusher, which basically kind of stopped his attacks or whatever when we were on turns and he couldn't kill me, so we would have tied. And no, we must have both had what was the record? You couldn't make it on,
you must have been in the X and two bracket.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so if you draw, then you're both out,
both
because
out for day
X
two.
And two and right. one will not make day two.
So a judge is watching us because we're at turns anyway, and I think it was kind of the last turn or a turn before, or maybe two turns before, when he says to me, would you be willing to scoop to me? Because if we tie, neither of us will make day two. And I just kind of like, you know, that I was like, well,
yeah,
that's weird. I don't know what to say to that.
Which, to be clear, like, it's a reasonable thing to ask. It's okay to ask that of someone.
I mean, legally, yeah, you mm-hmm. sure can.
Exactly. And I would say even, like, even morally, we talk a lot about being nice. And I think just, like, politely asking that question with no expectation of the person saying yes is okay, because you never know when you right. hit someone who's like, do you know what? Yeah, I'm okay right. with that.
And I just kind of felt a little weird about it. I was like, oh, I'm not sure about that or whatever, because I had, like, just like I mentioned, I had drawn a good card that I was like, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that you would win the game mm-hmm. at this point. And he goes, well, I know, but if we tie, neither of us make day two. And just kind of, like, stared at me. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, what? Are you going to take a tie and are you going to sit here and play out the rest of the rounds? And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, I want to play out the rounds. Like, I need the points. I want to get a bye next season. And he's just kind of like, okay, whatever. You know, like, obviously upset.
Oh, my God.
And, like, the judge is, like, sitting there just like, you guys need to finish this game or you need to decide. Like, and the judge is sitting there, like, staring at me. He's sitting there, like, staring at me. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, because I'm a Minnesotan. I'm going to blame some of it on that. In that,
absolutely.
I hate to be in this, like, I felt like I was in the worst position imaginable, which was either you screw us both over, Maria, by making this decision to have us tie, and then we both don't make day two, so fuck you. Or you scoop and, like, kind of just, like, take your medicine, and this guy goes on continuing to play for day two, and you're out.
I'm so mad.
Like,
I'm so mad. I can't, like, I've heard this story 3 times now.
I know.
Because I've been around for other retellings of it, and I'm still so angry right
now. It was so frustrating and so horribly, like, I felt, on this show, we talk about how much we love magic, and we do, but I think it's also important to talk about things that are tough for us. And this was one of my toughest moments playing the game. And I did end up scooping to him. I scooped to him. He showed me his hand, which had a mirror entity in it. And I was like, you know, that's a good card. I don't have removal for it. Sure. So I scooped, and I felt like crying after that round, because I felt I had been pressured into conceding. And now it's on me that I made the decision to scoop and didn't just say, no, I would prefer to tie. But, like, I would have felt like such an asshole. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I know. And I'm all for being, like, a kind person. I really do believe in it. But the one thing that can get me so hard is when it gets me so mad. Gets me so goddamn mad is when someone is an asshole and then you're like, oh, I shouldn't be an asshole back to them. God damn it.
I wouldn't want to say he was an asshole. I would want to say that he was very much like, he felt like he deserved for me to scoop in that situation.
That's what makes me so mad. And, when they feel like they're entitled to you conceding.
Yeah.
Or when he's in this position where it's like, oh, he's not considering scooping to you so that there's not a tie.
No, not at
all. Like, why on earth should you scoop to a person who would never dream of doing the same thing back for you?
I mean, like, the only reason I could give myself is, like, I guess I felt like he was favored to win this game. So that made me feel a little better about it. But, like, at the same time, you know, me playing for points and just playing for, you know, basically just pride in, like, how I play to, you know, say, oh, I have 3 losses. I ended the day at 6-3 or whatever, as opposed to 6-2-1. You know, I mean, that's not negligible. Like, that is important to me as a player.
Absolutely.
So it made me very upset to have to go through that. And, you know, I think if I had the better board state or whatever, I certainly would not have allowed that to happen. But I did. So, yeah, that's just, like, a tough thing you might run into. I think in this bracket, it's never happened to me before, actually. But
like I said, it doesn't bother me that people ask, because it is, like, it's true. It's like, if you guys draw there, you're both out.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that, one, I feel like, how can you act like that and not know that you're pressuring the other person?
I don't know.
Like, I look at that and it's like, that guy definitely had to know that he was putting you in a really uncomfortable spot.
He had to have seen my face. I mean, exactly. It was just, like, devastated that he asked
me. It's like, How dare you do that to someone else? How dare you put another person in a place where they feel like they owe you something?
And it's just like, I was so uncomfortable and I didn't answer for a couple more turns. Like, I was still considering it, you know?
I have to go take a walk around the block.
It's fine, Megan. I'm just like,
mother effer.
I'm like, what if I had just been, you know, what if I had just said, no, I feel like he would have continued to try and get me to do it.
Yeah.
Or if I had said, you know, oh man, it's just like, it's tough. Cause like you said, you can't ask. So, I mean,
oh my God. I have to say, like, for me, as soon as that happens, I feel lucky because, like I said, usually I try and be, like, a kind person who is understanding of, like, other people, like, where other people are. But something similar happened to me in the Super Sunday series in Denver in January, where this guy that I was playing against was just, like, we were about to draw, and he was like, do you want to concede? And it was just the way that he said it.
And you're like, no.
Usually I would have been like, at that point, I think I was out anyways. I was already, we're playing at X and 2, so it was just boosters on the line, which for me is not, like, sure, it's great to try and, like, make some of your money back in packs or whatever, but it's not as important for me at that point. And I was just like, I would have been fine with it, but the way that he said it as if he expected it to happen, like, something in my brain just, like, shut up and was like, no. Like, goddamn no.
I feel like in this situation, if somebody were to ask me, hey, would you be willing to scoop in a maybe a more nice way, and they saw how uncomfortable it made me when I'm like, I don't think I want to, or no, I don't know. How about they just leave it at that and say, I understand, that's fine, and move on.
Exactly.
Not keep trying to press the point, I think, is maybe what I'm getting at.
Which is what you should do if you're... Again, it's totally okay to ask for a concession in that spot, I feel. As long as if you see that you're making the other person uncomfortable, you can just step back and be like, never mind.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I don't want to make you uncomfortable in this place.
Yeah, I think that would have been preferable in that situation. So anyway, that was my greatest learning moment.
I'll tell a happy story to counteract that.
Sure.
As you guys know, I have been also working on becoming more of a hard ass when it comes to very strict rules enforcement at competitive events.
Yeah, and I mean, there was lots. I mean, I got nailed on it because I didn't announce at the correct moment my Crusher trigger, which Annihilator 2. I announced it like, I was like, Crusher, block. I was like, oh, Annihilator 2. Judge didn't announce her Annihilator trigger. And I mean, like, technically, he is right. I should have said attack Annihilator. Like, immediately, no pause. Competitive Ariel, guys.
Oh, boy.
You got a game loss for that, right?
No. Oh, okay. I mean, I lost a game.
Oh, gotcha.
But I didn't get a game loss. Right,
gotcha. Yeah. So, anyways, this was during the second round of the event. It was the first round that I played. And... game one, I mulliganed to 5 and just, like, lost real hard. Game 2, I won. Game 3, I mulliganed to 5 again on the draw. And my opponent starts beating down pretty hard. And I managed to... He arrested my one blocker that I had out and is attacking me with a lot of dudes. He was, like, a red-white double-strike equipment kind of deck. So he arrests the one guy that I managed to get out as a blocker because I'm pretty far behind. And I repeal the arrest after he attacks and go to block, like, his best guy on the board, which is one of the elementals that can pump your whole team.
Sure.
So I block that guy, and then I vines Vastwood with kicker my guy so that it will survive and I'll continue to have a card because I need that. And he apostles blessings his guy. My creature is blue. That's important to know about this. He apostles blessings his guy and says green, like pro green. I'm guessing because I just cast Vines of Vastwood.
Yeah.
Which is, and I feel like usually, and I talk to some people about this, like if someone was like pro green, I mean blue. That's the kind of situation where I'm like, okay, I get it. I stumble over my words too. Like I speak too quickly. But he like says pro green, I pause, and then I say, my creature is blue. And he's like, oh, I meant blue. And I'm just like, I like take a deep breath. And I'm just like, oh, God. And I literally put my face in my hand. I like lean my hand against my face on the table. My face against my hand on the table.
Yep.
Because I just feel like such a dick. Because I like, part of me is like, I know that I'm just supposed to be like, do you know what? I'm so unlikely to win this game. And if I lose this creature right now to this apostle's blessing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I'm just straight up screwed. So this is like my one chance and I don't know what to do. And the guy is just like, sees me with my face in my hand. And he's like, no, I said green. It's okay.
Aww.
And I was just like,
oh, that's so nice. Oh my God.
And I go on to win that game.
Oh my God.
Like I get a Demir Guildmage in play and start drawing cards to make up for my no cards earlier.
That's a quality gent right there.
I know. And at the end of the match, I told him, I was like, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate the fact that you made me, like, that you didn't put me in such a crappy position, because that, yeah, like, that's really hard for me. And he's like, no, I mean, like, I said green.
And that's what, you know, I think calling yourself out on stuff like that is, you know, a sign of just being a bigger player too. Like,
exactly.
You don't necessarily always need to make your opponent call a judge and whatever.
Yeah.
I definitely was in that spot sometimes, like I mentioned with my Annihilator Trigger. I was like, you're right, you know, you're being kind of a rules lawyer on me about this, but
yeah,
you are technically correct, so take it.
Here you go. Yeah.
You know?
So, well, I mean, I don't know if that guy ended up with a better or a worse record at the end of the day than your opponent, but I think he's a better player. Because he's not a giant asshole to other people across the table from him. So thank you. Thank you, guy who said that. And like I said, if he had, like, corrected himself right away, I think that would have been fine. But it's, like, the fact that I was like, my creature is blue.
You know, and I think triggers were kind of the name of the game that weekend.
Oh, man, they super were.
They were everywhere. And at competitive REL, you need to remember them. And if you don't, then they're missed and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think the number one card dealing with that was Narcolepsy, which is a very strange card in that it triggers on the upkeep.
On their upkeep, yeah. Boop,
tap it. And if you miss it, guess what? It doesn't tap. So I did have an opponent who played a Narco on me and was like, hey, by the way, can we just say this is always tapped and not have to deal with that? And I said, fine. Now, yeah. Maybe some players in my position, like a pro or whatever, would have said, no, you need to announce every time.
Yeah.
But I was just fine doing that because, like, I want to play the most fair game possible, and I don't want to win because somebody didn't, you know, missed saying
honestly,
something.
Honestly, Narcolepsy is kind of a stupid card.
I mean, like...
Like, the way that it's worded is really stupid, and it makes life hard for everybody.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's one of those things where you're like, yeah, sure.
Just keep it tapped.
Like, Wizards made a card that made you, unfortunately, have to remember that you dealt with this creature every single turn. And I won't punish you for their mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Oh man.
I have one more story from Sealed. Yeah. This one's a pretty good one.
Let's hear it, man.
It's a bad beat story. So I was playing in Super Sunday series at table one, because I was 3-0, which I was also very proud because I've never gone 3-0 in Super Sunday.
Congrats, man. Off the top. That's baller. Real
so,
baller.
So my deck was pretty bad, I think. It was Artifact Aggro, which just, you know, drowned the rest of the tournament. But it was coming off to some fast starts in the beginning. And I was playing at table one against the most insane deck in the entire universe, which had, you know, Karn and various other things that I'll talk about in a moment. So the board state was that, okay, what was it? I attacked with all my dudes,
mm-hmm.
which was nearly lethal, except he had an flying fish.
A Skyreach Manta?
No.
A Moldrifter.
Moldrifter. He had a Moldrifter and played to chump. I attack with everything. He goes, scoops up his cards. He's like, oh, let's go to game three. And he's like, wait a second. I can chump you. Puts them all back down. Now I could have said to him, no, you said scoop, buddy. We're going to game three. But I didn't because, as aforementioned, Minnesota. And so he blocks the Moldrifter, goes to one. Pass turn. Now, Megan, just hold on to your bonnet. Okay. So I had arrested his Palaka Worm or something. Yeah, it must have been arrest. He is able to cast another Moldrifter and draw two cards. Off a million mana, by the way. Off of that, finds Tarashi's grasp, is it, that kills an enchantment?
Yeah.
And it kills my arrest on the
Palaku. Oh, wait, no, it was O-ring.
Oh, okay. Well, it must have been O-ring.
Because that's relevant to the story.
Okay. Go ahead. And he gains life off of that, of course.
Yeah, because otherwise, if it had been arrested, it would have still been in play.
That's right. So good point. And it was O-ring
being in your deck.
Yeah, and comes back in, so gains 7 life from the worm.
Yeah.
Plus the 3 or 4 life from O-ring. I can't remember what that costs right now. Then otherworldly journeys the Palaku worm again to gain. So he's gained a total of something like 18 life.
Yep.
From one card. From one. Oh, Jesus. And then casts, get ready for it, that 10-9 Kozilek.
Wait, he casts Kozilek?
Yeah, whatever that Eldrazi is.
Oh, the one that's 10-9 is just Artisan of Kozilek.
Yeah, something like that. Artisan of Kozilek, that's it.
Okay.
Cast that. Oh, my God. Just like, Jesus, what am I supposed to do? Like, my poor little 2/2 artifact birds are just like, oh, we're fucked. And then also had Karn. Okay, the end. Yay, I lost that game.
That's insane.
I just have never seen somebody go from 1 to back up to more than 20 with an Eldrazi and a full board state.
Oh, my God.
It was, That was a crazy story.
Absolutely, man.
Anyway.
Nice.
Modern Masters sealed.
Good times.
The best of times, the worst of times, the Palakaest of times.
It was the best of times, it was the Palakaest of times. As Dickens once infamously put it.
He did.
My only crazy story from Super Sunday series was that the girl next to me opened a foil Goyf.
Passed it.
What? Yeah, and passed it. She, like, screamed, and her hands were shaking. It was insane. And then she dropped. It was amazing.
Speaking of foil Goyfs.
Yeah.
Something big happened with a foil Goyf at Vegas.
Someone opened one and dropped during the main event?
Nope, that's not it.
Well, I just told the story of the girl who opened one during Super Sunday series, mm-hmm. So...
That's not it.
No?
No, Megan.
Well, what happened?
Well, turns out there was a top 8 draft in one of these GPs.
Absolutely there was.
And a lovely gentleman named Pascal Maynard decided to draft a foil Goyf for his deck, which was
red, white aggro,
instead of a Burst Lightning.
That's right. Burst Lightning.
Pretty good in that
2
deck.
2 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Kicker for 4 more damage? 6 more damage? I don't know.
Anyway, good card.
Yeah.
But he took the foil Goyf. Hashtag value.
That's
and
right.
Went on to not win that GP. Who knows if it was because of he did not have that
Who knows?
Lightning Bolt or not. I mean, Burst Lightning. But Twitter kind of exploded with the hashtag Goyfgate, with a lot of pro players upset at Pascal for picking that Goyf, thinking that he was kind of pooping on their, you know, tradition.
Yeah, absolutely.
On, like, they work hard, they train. It's a lot of time, it's a lot of effort to go in, and then he's just like, yeah, middle finger, all you all, I'm taking this foil Goyf, suck it.
Now that you've made a poop reference for this, I'll make a literary reference for this.
Go ahead.
It would be like a very literary author revising their manuscript so that it's more of like a bestseller material kind of book.
Like there's a sparkly vampire in
exactly.
there.
Which one could see as them kind of selling out.
Yeah. So a lot of pros are mad and said some things that in my personal opinion were uncalled for.
They were a little harsh or a lot harsh.
Then Pascal,
they were like sandpaper words.
Sandpaper words. He posted about it.
Which will be my newest novel.
Sandpaper Words.
Sandpaper Words.
By Megan Wolf.
Anyways.
Yes. He posted about it and said, you know, I've been having some trouble, you know, financially. Like, I wanted to be able to go to some more GPs, and I didn't have the funds. I drafted this Goyf. I had a minute or less to make
like
this
40
decision.
Seconds, exactly.
And
to look
said,
at this pack.
I'm going to take this money so I can ensure that I can go to a future GP instead of this Burst Lightning.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, yeah, bro. You do you.
I think, and like, let's see, there was Martin Juzo was basically tweeted to me along the lines of like, you're saying, would you pay $500 to have a Burst Lightning in your deck? It's like, well, yeah. No, when you put it that way, no, I'm not going to pay $500 to put a burst lightning in my deck. To be fair, I was not in the top 8 draft of the biggest Grand Prix of all time, but no. Still.
But I think, like, you know, us plebes are like, we can all see taking that foil Goyf.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, get your value, man. You're in the top 8. Yeah. I mean, I see it.
Absolutely. And then there are, like, someone posted an argument to the Reddit thread that was along the lines of, like, it's about, like, the pursuit of excellence. So, if you want to look at it, like, it is difficult for casual players or newer players like ourselves to be like, how was that pick wrong?
Yep.
But it's like, well, if what you're dedicating yourself to in Magic is the pursuit of excellence, well, then, yeah, like, in that case, it kind of was the wrong pick. But, you know, I still can't blame someone.
No, and after he wrote his reasoning for taking it, a lot of the pros retracted their statements and apologized for what they had said to him, which I think was, you know, probably a smart move.
Yeah, probably a smart move.
So, and the good news is he decided to auction it off on eBay, giving half of the proceeds to charity. And last time That's I right. checked, it was at $16,000.
Last time I checked, it was at like $20,000, so...
Oh, boy.
Although no one knows if those are all
Hopefully they're all real bids.
Someone's trolling the situation.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah, so...
And you know, I feel like someone sent us, an email or a tweet. They were like, oh, a couple of weeks ago we talked about, taking cards that are worth money over cards that will make your deck better.
Did
like
we?
Yeah. We like actually talked about it.
Well, we are
in the draft. I mean, psychics. We really are. Maria is clairvoyant.
Yes.
And I'm pretty good at tarot.
That's an endorsement if I ever heard one. God.
So anyways, I feel like we kind of talked about it. And for players like us, like, there definitely is the looking at the situation in terms of, like, I basically only lose money on Magic.
Yep. How can I lose the least money doing this hobby?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I want to know.
But you do have to, I get it. When you're a pro, you do have to look at it in terms of, like, well, am I pursuing excellence in this game in the best way that I can.
And maybe excellence for him means affording to be able to go to another GP.
I mean, that's totally fair also.
So there's that. Absolutely. Goyfgate. I have a question for you, Megan. What if he had chosen, instead of a foil Goyf, like a foil island in that pack and picked that, like it was really pretty and he just really wanted it, would it have been called Watergate?
How did I not see that coming until you said it? At first, I thought you were just making some really weird argument. I was like, where are you going with this? I don't know what your point is. And then we reached it. Yep. And then we reached it, and I found out.
There you go.
Oh, jeez.
So one of my highlights from GP Vegas was doing a bad idea draft at midnight that went till 5 a.m.
That's right. God, that was painful. We had a game that, like, never ended.
That's true.
Our match
went forever. Eventually, I just scooped because I was like, fuck it.
Well, that's not true. I also had you dead.
Yeah, well, but I was also like, fuck it.
Oh, okay, but I just want to be clear that I was winning.
So, we
draft. This is a draft that never ends.
Especially at 5 in the morning, it feels like it's never going to end. Oh, that was God. Not even all. That was 2 rounds only.
That was 2 rounds in.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I drafted blue-black with the guy that hits and you can draw a card with fear.
Shadow Mage Infiltrator,
yes.
A.K.A. John Finkel.
And I never got to play him, sadly enough.
Aww.
But I did.
Wait, you played him once against me.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Did I get in?
No, because I had artifacts.
Ah, yes, that's right. Fear. Fear does nothing against artifacts. No. I had a wombo combo, which was Bloodthrone Vampire and Reassembling Skeleton.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Which was pretty fun.
I remember one time you made that vampire into like a 10-10.
Yeah. Kill my skeleton, bring it back. Kill him again, then give him a whack. That's the song.
That was questionable at best.
Yeah. It's an abusive relationship between those two, really.
I mean, obviously our game went on so long that you were able, you had so much mana that you could do it. You could bring that skeleton back 8 billion times.
I think I was pretty proud of how long I lasted against your 5-color special, which had all the good cards known to man.
It was so good.
I mean,
I beat a resolved Karn.
That's pretty good.
It was disgusting.
Like, you were playing Savage Twister. You had 2 Eldrazi.
Yeah. The uncommon and the common Eldrazi. One of the beautiful things about being 5-color is, like, once you've just embraced it, you can take every disgustingly good card that comes your way.
When did you embrace it is my question.
I think my first pick was uncommon Eldrazi, and my second pick was common Eldrazi, just because I was, like, I took the first one and I was, like, F it, I'm just gonna be straight ramp.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember. I think I just remember looking at the cards that were coming around, and... like, I ended up with, like, a reasonable amount of cycling, like, a lot of Sylvan bounties. Sure. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I was, like, very strong base green with, like, red and black being my next colors. A little bit of white for, like, a Blinding Soul Eater and a rest. And actually no blue. I had blue bounce lands so that I could make a 5/5 Skyreach Manta.
Ah, yes.
But I didn't actually have any blue spells.
And you were worried, I remember, the entire draft, like I thought normal it was gonna, Megan
I
fashion.
I thought it was going to blow.
Is like, whining about her deck.
I thought it was going to suck ass. And it turned out to be pretty
bonkers.
It was
pretty good. Like, my deck, I think, was also good. But the problem was, if I couldn't kill you fast enough, you played a 5/5 Skyreach Manta.
That's right.
My
on
nameless,
turn 5.
It's my like nameless inversions can't kill that thing.
No, they really can't.
I had 3 nameless inversions or something like that. You're like, what am I gonna do?
Gross.
Not a lot.
Absolutely. It was I felt pretty proud of it.
You Savage Twistered me. I remember that.
Yeah, I sure did. I had an Apocalypse Hydra.
Yep.
Like, again, that's just the sweet part of, like, once you're in 5-color, it's like any rare that you open that's good, or anything that anyone passes you that's good, you're just like, yeah, I'll play that.
The thing is, I knew 5-color was obviously a format in sealed. I wasn't sure how well it would work in draft.
I didn't
Turns
know
out,
either.
Quite fine. Good. Yeah.
Again, you kind of have to, like, I remember starting in, like, at the middle of pack 2, I started having to really prioritize, like, Sylvan Bounties and Sphere of the Suns were my 2 main fixers. I didn't really go for a lot of the search land, like searchers, like maps or baubles or anything like that. I mostly just did some land cycling. The nice thing about Sylvan Bounty also is when you're playing a slower
against
5-color
me, yeah.
deck, exactly. Like, sometimes you have all 5 colors of mana in play and you just gain 8 life instead.
Yes, and you played it once on me and I was like, okay, that's it. She gained 8 life. Oh, we're fine. And then you play it like a
and
second
I played
one.
Another one.
No.
Because I think I was just like running hot that game. I had just like naturally drawn 5-color, like 5 colors of mana. I just, like, had domain naturally.
Oh, God.
So, also Mach Charioteers and I had Mach Charioteers and
Are they
Tribal
Rioteers
Flames.
Or Rioters?
Oh, whoops.
You're making them really fancy.
I really am.
I'm a Rioteer.
Mach Charioteers, sick card in that deck. Tribal Flames, also super sick card
in
that
deck.
Oh,
yeah. For sure.
Vengeful Rebirth? I had a Vengeful Rebirth.
Yeah, that
so
that
like,
was a beating.
Anything that was super good that you killed, I could just be
like
bring
whatever.
It back.
It's back.
Oh, and a Precursor Golem?
Oh,
God.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was just, man, that deck was just like all
oh,
about
boy.
The sick rares and uncommons. I loved it.
So yeah, Modern Masters draft, pretty fun. And like we mentioned before, if you want to see us do a couple drafts, head on over to our YouTube channel. It's pretty sick.
We're big draftiers.
Draftiers. Oh, what do you say? We have a riot today, Jeremy.
Oh, riot sounds wonderful, Clarence.
I've got my handlebar mustache on and my 3-quarter-length pantaloons, and I'm ready to just give the government what for.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'll go ahead and I'll saddle the horses and polish the armor.
I'm going to ride in on my unicycle.
Oh, fantastic.
For we are rioteers. Well, everybody, that's this episode.
Thanks so much for chilling with us for the past, 50-odd minutes.
Hey, Megan, next GP Vegas, what are you hoping? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, my God. Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I really want to go see Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
We saw a pretty sweet, we saw a pretty sweet, yeah, like circus show. But I'd really love to see Cirque du Soleil.
I would like Wizards to put a booth in the convention center that's one of those money, like, things where you step in and they blow money around you. Except this time it's magic cards and you have to, like, grab them. And there's one foil Goyf that'll be put in there for the weekend.
They're gonna get so crumpled.
Well, you know, that's just the way the game, the cookie crumbles.
Oh my god, that is an amazing idea.
Like, you have to go in the magic card
cage. All sleeved, they sleeve them all.
Jesus. I'm trying to make this a real idea.
I'm just saying, they're going to get so
this
warm.
Is what it is. It's for charity. You pay $5. You get in the magic card cage. You get, you like, 30 seconds.
To grab
as many cards as you can.
This is my favorite idea, actually. And over the course of the weekend,
there's one Goyf.
There's one Goyf. Oh. Or each day they put a new Goyf in.
Okay.
Because then by the end of, like, by the yeah. third day, there's three Goyfs in there.
Okay.
If no one's grabbed them yet.
Okay. This is a great idea, Wizards.
So, like, your chances go up a little bit.
So, if you're listening, think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Megan and I did shoot a little video for Wizards, which you can see
On their Facebook page. Absolutely. Check it out, where we give some of our tips for GP Vegas.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
But it also applies to Modern Masters in general.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody, for listening. If you want to listen to us more, please subscribe to our show. You can do so on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher if you have an Android device or an iPhone, for that matter. You can go to mtgcast.com and listen, as well as themeatery.org. If you were at Vegas, you saw the Meatery's booth down there.
Absolutely.
Fronted by Ian and Eric, two awesome dudes at our LGS who own Mead Hall, also run the Meatery, which is a Facebook, like, sort of social networking site for Magic users. So if you don't want to put a post about how many sweet pulls you had in your draft on Facebook, you can do it on the Meatery and everyone will love you for it.
Absolutely.
Head to our website, magicthematurine.com. You can find all of our back episodes down to episode one.
Mm-hmm.
They're all there. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know how much longer we can maintain our, like, we're going up and up and up number of episodes. Like,
oh my god.
Pretty soon our website will break, so go and listen to them while they're still up there.
Because who knows?
Who knows?
They'll always be on iTunes, right?
No. If I have to take them off the website, they will be gonzo. So,
they'll be gonzo from the Muppets.
No, gone.
Oh,
but don't worry, that's not happening yet. We still have enough room on our website for now.
Is Gonzo the Muppet just an accumulation of all the deleted media from the internet?
That would not surprise me.
No, that would explain a lot of things. Well, guys, this has been another episode of MTA Cast.
Head to our Patreon if you want to support us, patreon.com/MTAcast, and join in on the party, helping us keep bringing these episodes to you, as well as draft videos and hopefully streaming every week if we can hit our next goal on Patreon.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Once again, a big shout out to everybody we met in Vegas. You were all awesome. Every single one of you, no exceptions. It was a beautiful time, and I'm so happy to have you all as listeners of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like we had the best listeners, Megan.
I agree. I feel like we started calling it, like, our weird family.
Yeah, it's so true.
Welcome to our weird family.
Yep.
We love you guys.
Welcome. We'll see you around here, same bad time, same bad channel, next week. Until then, have an ice cream cone or something. And if you're lactose intolerant, I don't know, go fuck yourself.